Blog Talk Radio.
General quarters. Security condition 3.
HQ. Security 3, sir. General quarters 3. Intruder alert. GQ 3. Intruder alert.
I love that doorman. He knows who to let in and who not let in. Good evening and welcome once again to Madame Perry Salon. I am your host and cruise director, Madam Perry, and I just want to start off by saying thanks to everybody that's following the show, that's subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, and is following here. If you're listening live tonight and you're on to a Blog Talk Radio and you see that little hot pink square that says follow, please click that and follow, because the people like you help me get great guests we've been having, like we got tonight, like we got coming up in the next month, and help me get sponsors too. So that's our very cool thing. And just to kind of recap, recently, too, you know, we had Chasm Sultan on, and he's on tour with Todd Rundgren right now. So get Chasm's solo EP right now, Bootleg. He's selling that. Also, you know, we had Rudy Sarzo on, and his book, Off the Rails, is a great book. So go ahead and get that. It's very well written about his time with Ozzy on the road and about his friend Randy Rhoads. We also had Kate Moore from the UK about it with her book, Radium Girls. And that's about the girls in the U.S. back in the 20s that were working with the radium dials, painting on dials and watches and clocks, and then they began to get very sick because they were told to make a point with a brush in their mouth, so they all got radium poisoning and had a hell of a time getting help. Coming up soon, we're going to have Joe Vitale, and we're also going to have Denny Tedesco talking about a documentary he made about a group his father's in. If you know anything about music, you've heard of the Wrecking Crew, and this will be about the Wrecking Crew documentary. And also, Adrian Belew, the Twang Bar King, will be coming soon. But tonight, I am so psyched and so excited to have this guest on tonight. It is the one, the only, the sensational Athena Bass. Welcome to Madame Perry's Soul.
You just made me sound really cool.
Not enough for you. Athena, she's a drummer, she's a television star, and you've also done a lot of other television work besides Rockstar Ex-Wives. You've been commentator on VH1 Behind the Music, E! True Hollywood Story and stuff. You're a business owner. We've got so much to talk about. And remember this one fact, folks, because this is very important. All the material, everything you read about Athena says she's the younger, make sure we know, younger sister of Tommy Lee. Just getting that in there. It matters.
I read a few weeks ago that I was his daughter, and I could not stop laughing. It was the weirdest thing. I was like, where did that even come from? But it's funny.
All right.
I'm
and hey, folks, too, you know. Hey, yeah. I don't know how he felt about it, but and folks, you know, we've got our friend, actor and former Comedy Central celeb, Duffy Odoms, here with us tonight. Duffy, drop up. Come on in, Madame Perry Salon.
Hey.
I think I told you, Athena.
Hey, Athena.
It looks like Matt, one of the guests, it looked like the inside of a genie's bottle in here. So that's why I've got so many pillows and cushions and so much stuff here. So just make yourself comfortable.
Are you smoking catnip?
Catnip? No, we're not. So, oh. not
well, I brought
yet,
some
anyway.
In case.
What are you guys
well,
doing?
Well, that was thoughtful. I don't know what Duffy's doing. He's not even in the same town as me. So I don't know.
Oh, okay.
As long as you brought enough to share. And I'll always make sure, you know who is and isn't a recovering catnip user, because, you know, that wouldn't be very polite. We've got so much to talk to Athena about. I don't even know where to start. So let's just start with the fact that, where are we going to go? Let's start with drumming. And how did you, you know, we always got to know, how did you start drumming? And who taught you? And why did you want to do it?
God, I've told this story a million times, but I'll tell it again. I started because I was bored and I was grounded. And that's the honest to God truth. Because I grew up in a pretty small town, like 40 miles east of Hollywood, Covina. And Covina's cool when you're little kid, or if you're like old, because there's nothing to do there. But but we were always, I don't even know how we got in so much trouble, but we did, and I was always grounded. So there's nothing to do. So I would go in the garage and play my brother's drums when I was bored. And I taught myself, because I wasn't allowed to do that. I just did it. So it would be when he was gone. So I would go watch MTV. And then at that time, they didn't have like a million videos. So the same ones would come on maybe every hour. So I'd watch a video and I'd play a little bit of it and then run back in and wait for the video to come back on and then catch a little bit more of it and until I could play a whole song. And I did that in like this vicious circle until I taught myself how to play. And that's it.
Was he already playing when you learned?
Oh yeah, he had been playing a while. I think he was already in Motley Crue, maybe. No, it was right before that. Right before, because we were in high school, and he left when I was still a sophomore in high school.
Oh,
he left to go on tour. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so that's what you're playing.
So woohoo for being grounded all the time.
Yeah.
Seriously, if I wasn't, I probably never would have done that.
Well, I know if my brother wasn't in prison, he would have never learned how to play guitar because he had too many distractions. So I understand things like that. How did your brother feel about you playing his drums, though?
He didn't know.
I like it.
He was really, really cool, though, because once he did find out and I did tell him, eventually, I don't know, he caught me or something, I don't really know. But when I told him that I really wanted to, you know, take it seriously and join a band, he actually gave me his Theater of Pain white sonar drum kit with the comedy and drama. And it was like, it was, to this day, I think that's why I hit so hard, is because it was a stadium kit, and to get any kind of cool sound out of them, you had to beat the living shit out of them. So So it wasn't like I could, if I barely tapped them, you wouldn't hear a thing. So I had to hit hard, and I think that's just the way that came about, because I probably would play maybe differently if I didn't have to do that. But whatever, all good. I thought that was really awesome. And then when I did start, my parents didn't even know I played, because they, like I said, I was supposed to be grounded and doing homework. So my very first show, I invited them to come and watch, and they didn't know why they were coming to Gazari. I didn't tell them, and then so I just sat them at a table and said, "Hold on, I'll be right back." And then the next in 5 minutes, I was playing. So I was like, "Yeah, I kept a lot of secrets." It sounds like, huh?
Yeah.
What a shitty kid.
What was your first band?
It was an all-girl band called Hardly Dangerous.
Oh, yeah, and I heard them.
Yeah, it was a strange band. There's a lot of partying going on. So.
Oh, yeah. And you were in butt trumpet? Are you on the Private Enema album? Primitive Enema?
No,
Enema, isn't that what it is?
I was in butt trumpet for about a blink. And I'll tell you why. Because the singer is completely insane, and I couldn't handle it.
Mm.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, maybe this isn't for me. But I liked the songs, and they were punk, and it was kind of a cool thing. But, yeah, I never recorded with them or anything. It was just,
oh, okay.
It was strictly for fun and short-lived.
Yeah, yeah, bandmate stories. That's like a whole drama show in itself, you know. When somebody's got an attitude or a problem or an idiosyncrasy, you know. I had a jazz combo to play. We played lots for years, and I had books. You know, we had to make books of the songs for the musicians because we had different people that kind of like I had like a pool. But I had one keyboard player that would always say he couldn't find a song, and my husband would say, because my husband played guitar for me, he goes, I thought you were going to put these books in order. I thought you were going to put these books in order. I said, I did. I swear I put them in order. Then the bass player said, no, here's what he does. He holds those two pages together and pretends like he doesn't have that song and flips the page back and forth. Don't see it in the middle. He said, I know what he's doing. I said, okay, great. See, they'll do all kinds of stuff, you know, like that. But I just want to know, yeah, how do you just say, you know, casually, oh, I got, well, if you're into punk, it's different just to say, well, yeah, I'm in butt trumpet. And what do you do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was funny. It wasn't like he was insane and that's why I left. There was another singer with him, and they were fighting, and that's how the people left and they got new people. And the fight just continued nonstop. I'm like, oh, my God, you guys. Either, like, break up or, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I just went,
mm-hmm.
I play for fun, 100% for fun. So if it's not fun for me, I won't do it. I just can't. Like, I know there's a lot of people out there that will play pretty much anything if they're getting paid. And cool
mm-hmm.
to that. You know what I mean? It's a job. But I can't do that because I can't play with people that aren't positive and cool and fun, and I can't play with, like, a bunch of drama around because I've tried it. And here's another interesting fact that people might love to know. I've been in bands with all girls, and I've been in bands with all guys. Guess which one has way more drama?
I'd say guys.
Yes. Like you would not believe. I'm like, wow, people would freak if they knew this. Guys are way more dramatic, way more. Girls, they just want to like party and hang out and like, woo, look what we're doing. We're having a blast. And guys are just like, maybe because there's so much ego there, I don't know, but way more dramatic, just so people know. Because, you know, everybody thinks girls are just like the root of all evil. And dramatic.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, it's not true. They just want to have fun. Guys are, like, sometimes very difficult.
Yeah, people think we'd be a hormonal mess and stuff. But, yeah, I've never had any problems with it. I've had good luck with my musicians. But women, here's the difference I've had with female musicians when I call them. If I have a guy, if I call up a guy, like a trio plus vocal for a gig, here's what I get from the keyboard player. I get... All right, are you going to have a bass player, or do I have to do that too, you know? All right, yes, I'll have a bass player. But you call a female musician, I don't care who it is, you call a female keyboard player, and she says, do you have a bass? Well, not yet. Well, listen, don't get a bass. I'll do it with my left hand. That way there's more money for all of us. The attitude.
There you go.
Yeah.
Boom.
Now, if you're listening live, folks, I've got Athena Bass, drummer, actress, business owner on the line here. And the number to call if you want to talk to is 646-716-9922. That's a toll-free number in the U.S. on Blog Talk Radio, 646-716-9922. And, yeah, because I have seen
okay, so
you
wait,
play.
So
oh, no,
where
I'm
y'all
watching.
Front work, huh?
What?
Did you say y'all?
Hello,
I'm in Atlanta.
Where are y'all from? Where am I talking to you from? I mean, I know where I'm talking to you from. Where are you guys?
I'm in Atlanta.
Atlanta, Georgia.
South Georgia. And I'm from Atlanta. I lived in Atlanta for 50 years.
Oh, nice.
So
I love Atlanta.
We're Atlanta people.
But this phone number, though, is from the Blog Talk Radio. It's a virtual studio, so they give me a number. That's the number for this, so it's not. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's not under where 646 is. It's somewhere in the cyber world.
I was just wondering where the Southern drawl was coming from.
Well, yeah, well,
you know.
I didn't know. I had run.
Last week I had Mac M. William Phelps. He's a true crime writer, and he's on his investigation discovery. And he said, "Are you from Texas? Are you in Texas?" No. Not that kind of accent.
Okay, wait.
You know
a minute.
What I love watching
is, huh?
What do you love watching?
Are those guys weird crime writers? Like, did he creep you out at all, or did he seem just really cool? I always think that there's something up with those guys, because who thinks like that? Or
I
does
think
he write
some of them are like saints, because they help solve crimes, and they get in close. Some of them, not all of them, but some of them get in close with families of people who are suffering, especially if they're helping, trying to help solve a crime. And he's one of the good ones.
Okay.
Yeah, but I will say this. I started reading true crime because a girlfriend recommended a book. Anne Rule was the queen of it all. Diane Fanning and Catherine Casey, who have both been on my show several times, they are the pinnacle now in the business. But I'll tell you, the women do it better. Whenever I read their books, it's all, you know, it's a story, a lot of the background. You get the color, the feel, and you get some sympathy too for people if it's, you know, you get, this is why they did this. But if it's the guys, when I read a male who writes this stuff, it seems like about 2/3 of the way through the book, they just start adding stuff like they're getting paid by the page. You know, like musicians that play like they're getting paid by the note, and that's what I like to play by the page.
Yeah.
Listen, I was going to say, you know what I love watching on YouTube? I love watching Femme Fatale, your band, on the Monsters of Rock cruise, because there are a lot of videos from that.
Oh, yeah.
So
we
that
have
is
fun on those
fun,
cruises.
Much fun as it looked.
Yeah.
So how do those go? How long do you play? And
You do usually 2 shows. So because what's going on is there are shows going on pretty much all day, all night on the ship. So you do at least 2 shows. So in case you're playing at the same time as a band that someone else wants to see, they have a chance to see your show. Because there's so many people, you know, maybe they want to catch somebody else and they're playing the same time you are. So they can go to the other person's show and then still see you another time. So it's cool. It's really cool. It's so much fun.
And I guess your fans get a chance to be up close and personal with you.
Yeah, you hang
not
out.
Too
close, I mean, whatever you want
to
do, you hang out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do. Like last time, we all spent the day in Catalina and ran into people and hung out with them and talked to them. And yeah, it's fun.
Now, when you let's talk about your TV show, Rockstar Ex-Wives, because so many people are crazy about reality shows. Huh?
It's called Ex-Wives of Rock.
I'm sorry, Ex-Wives of Rock.
That's
Ex-Wives of Rock. Is that fun to do? Is it not fun? How is it?
We haven't filmed anything for a few years. It's over. We're not going to be doing that again. But it was for me like therapy. I'm going to have to say, because there's a lot of went through a whole lot. I mean, I just pretty much filed for divorce and started that day on the show. So lucky for me, because everybody else was already doing the show. They had already started filming, and there was someone else on the show, and it didn't work out. And so they came to me. Lorraine Lewis, the singer for Femme Fatale in my band, she's one of the creators. So she talked to the other people about me, and I got to tell you, they were not going to even have me on the show, because I had just filed for divorce and found out all kinds of crazy things that I didn't want to know. So I was kind of on a roll. That's a nice way to put it. I was a mess. And so my Lorraine came and got me. And my first meeting with the producers, I was just hammered. And are you playing trumpet?
No.
Not me.
My first meeting with them, I was like, I was wasted and I was being an asshole and I was trying to make out with our waiter because he was really hot and it just didn't go well. So they actually said no to me at first, and Lorraine like fought for me. She goes, you need to meet the real Athena. That wasn't her. She's just upset and drinking and. So I went back and met them again when I wasn't on fire. and then it was okay. It was all good. And then I started with them. And some of it was a lot of fun. I mean, I never thought I would ever get paid to travel, take trips with my friends. You know, like, how cool is that?
Yeah.
That does not suck at all.
That's living the dream for me. Yeah.
Yeah,
to do that.
I wish
so bad
and I
could do that.
Right?
Yeah. They're on, most of them, I think, are on YouTube, aren't they? I've been watching a lot
of them.
Yeah,
they are.
A playlist of a whole lot of shows are on there, and I've been watching those. It's fascinating. I usually don't watch reality TV with, I don't like Real Housewives, but this is a different bit altogether.
Yeah.
Definitely. There's some history there that's unique.
Yeah. It was a fun show. I mean, I really wish we could still do it. I really do. It's just it was a Canadian production. And so it just after 3 seasons, I think it just the money. It was a money issue. I mean, if we were Canadian, we'd still have a show, put it that way, but we're not, so we don't.
Oh.
But we do have some kooky things in the works, so but huh?
Did you already know Cherise and all the other girls already, or?
Yeah, I knew them for a while. I mean,
all of
Bobby,
them?
At one time she was engaged to my brother, so I've known Bobby for 25 years.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
All right.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
well, do you have kids? Do any of them play drums?
Have a daughter?
No, actually, my daughter is a hairdresser and a kick-ass hairdresser, and my son Miles is actually the drummer for a band called Bad Sons, and they are killing it right now. They just put out their second album, and they're getting ready to tour again. They tour like crazy. They play like crazy. They're on the radio all the time. They're doing it. And I'm going to say that Miles is the best drummer in the family.
Is he?
I think
well,
so. Yes.
Who taught him? You?
No, he taught, same thing, he taught himself. The drums were just there. But I never
when you,
had to.
When you were away and he was playing your
when
drums.
When he was
grounded.
What goes around comes around, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like
family
that though.
Tradition.
And you know what? He would on his own. He took marching band, concert band, jazz band, anything he could take. He did. He joined bands on his own, and then you know, it's kind of like when you have a kid and you have to go tell him to practice and. This and that. That was not the issue. I used to have to stop him to so he would eat. So, this is all him. Yeah.
Yeah. right, Athena, we have two more callers on the line right now. Let me get them in. The first one I'm going to bring in the room is my BFF. And believe me, if we could do a show together and travel and get paid for it, we would be there right then. And this is her, Kenya Colbert. Kenya, come on in, honey, and meet Athena Bass.
Hello, Athena. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I am wonderful. So, like, let me just say first, I am so loving your voice right now because you are so filled with energy. It is so cool. It's contagious.
Girl, you read her right. You read her right for the minute. Let me bring in this other caller, and we'll get back. But, yes, you read Kenya right. That is exactly what she is. She is positive. I don't know why she's my friend. I'm such a crank, but here he is. And we have one more person.
Yeah,
hi,
right.
Welcome to Madame Perry's Salon. Come on in. Who is this? Tell us who you are.
This is Andrea from California.
Andrea from California. Cool. Wonderful. Say hello to Athena Bass.
Oh, Athena, I love listening to your story.
Oh, thank you. You should be Andrea from Hot as Balls, California. It's so hot
exactly.
Right now.
Exactly. That's the pants.
Hello, I'm from Hot as Balls, California.
That's it. Just north of Fresno.
Oh,
north of Fresno.
Yeah, it's not even,
north
you know, what I'm. So, Athena, I just have a question for you about drumming. Was it hard for you to develop the upper body strength that you need, or no?
No. You know what? I was a dancer for years, so it just kind of came pretty natural to me. And I know that probably pisses off other people who have to super work at it, but believe it or not, dancing is, I mean, it just teaches you coordination and you're using your different limbs at different times.
Mm-hmm.
So from going to dancing to that is actually kind of easy.
Ah.
And already dancing, you already learn rhythm. And so, you know.
Oh, that's great. Well,
yeah.
My husband's a musician. He always told me I had no rhythm, you know, and there's no way I could do drums. No way. but anyway.
I mean,
did you have any?
You should tell him to bite
musicals?
You.
Huh? What was that?
You just tell him bite me and do it anyway.
Oh, you know, I was too nice in those days. I was kind of too nice, I think. I never really believed him. Which is probably why he's my ex now. But anyway, whatever.
Oh, boom.
Life goes on, you know. And then I have one other question. Madam Perry, I'm going to hang up because, as you know, my phone is probably going to die any minute. So. Just has to do with mentoring because I don't see that many women drummers. Did you have to? I know you taught yourself, but did you have to hook up with people for mentoring or any? Did you feel weird being in a sea of guys, or was that right up your alley, or what?
No, actually, there. Once I started playing, I had friends that, you know, guy friends that were drummers that would spend time with me and show me certain things. So mm-hmm. I did start to learn from people after I taught myself, because you can only watch so many missing persons videos or Van Halen video. You know what I mean? It just,
yeah.
So yeah. So I needed to learn more. So a lot of guys in the bands that were playing with us in, you know, on the in the Hollywood circuit, I would kind of grew up with, and their friends. So they would help me learn.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
well,
it was really cool. We were all friends, so it was awesome.
It's like a family, huh? It's not quite as big of a scene as you might think it is. It's people really get to know each other, I think.
Yeah, it's very small. I mean, it's a smaller community than people even have any idea.
All right, well, I have to hang up. I'm going to keep listening.
Okay,
all right,
bye.
Thanks so much, Andrea. All right,
thank you,
one
guys.
Of our favorite
bye.
Regulars.
Bye.
All right, love you, Andrea.
Bye-bye.
Love you, too. Bye.
Bye.
All right, Kenya Colbert. Kenya, my BFF.
Yes, my BFF. So,
my partner and things that people will never know about. Go ahead.
We used to say partner in crime, but now I think it's illegal to say that, so you just have to say partners.
Okay.
We just say partners and things that people will never know about. How about that? We do it all in secret.
Okay.
All right. But go ahead, Kenya.
There you go. That works for me. Hi, Duffy, too. Sorry, I didn't get to speak to you as well.
Hi, Kenya.
Hi. So, Athena, quick question for you. I'm not really a big reality. Okay, so I don't really watch reality TV that much because I'm thinking that a lot of it is like wrestling. Like, wrestling looks like it's real, but it's actually not real. Am I on point? Am I off? Is some of it real? Some of it's not real? Kind of give me the behind-the-scenes part. I'm looking for the juice.
Well, I can tell you 100% that our show was real. But they,
was it really?
But what they did, yeah. Yes. I mean, seriously, you can't write that shit. We had some of the weirdest stuff ever happen. What they did do, though, is because we're, me and Bobby especially, lose focus really, really easily. Like, I have shiny ball syndrome. I'll be sitting there and like, shiny ball. All of a sudden, I'm chasing a ball down the street. So what they did do with us is they would tell us, like, this is what we're going to talk about today. Because if they didn't, it would never make sense. We would be bouncing all over the place, you know. So what they did with us was give us a subject and make us focus and talk about that. That's what they did. But nothing was scripted. Nothing was added. They just made us focus. And I know, like other shows too, that there's shows that I can't even watch because I know they're not real. And also, there's just so much anger and hate everywhere in the world. So for me to seek out a reality show where a bunch of supposedly grown women get drunk and just fight each other in dresses and heels, like, I can't. I mean, that's not to me. That's not a show. That's like, it's almost embarrassing.
I'm dead with you. So let me ask you this. So do you think that because your girlfriend wrote it, like because it was a personal thing for her to write, that she was able to control and keep out a lot of the fakeness?
No. What I said that I refused to do it if it was fake.
Gotcha.
Because then it's not reality. Then why are you I mean, for me, it's like if it's real, I'll do it. But if – you know, because going in, I was like, I kind of grew up not talking about things. I just would just pretend everything's great all the time. And the show really kind of taught me how to talk about things because I didn't have a choice. So going in, I'm like, I'm not going to talk about on a reality show about things that didn't happen to me. It's already hard enough for me to talk about things that did. So either it's going to be real and you're going to, you know, or I'm not going to do it because I'm not a fake person. If I want to be on a show and be an actress and it's scripted and then that's a whole nother story. But if you're going to claim that it's real and it's reality, then that's what it needs to be or I can't do it.
Yeah.
So I was told from jump that it's 100% real, and that's why I did it.
I love telling you that.
From the reality shows that I know about personally, there are so many that the people that are on the show know nothing about show business, and there's actually a director that will tell them, well, that was good, build it up a little bit. I don't want to change what you're saying, but do it again, and we'll talk about what you're talking about, but be a little more violent or, you know, and give them tidbits to say. And that's not reality.
You know, nice doesn't sell. You know, you can't go to a producer and go, I'm a really nice girl and I have no issues. Can I have a show? You know,
No.
Yeah, I mean, I know people who've been dropped from shows because they're just not insane enough, or they refuse to beat the shit out of someone, or they were, you know, it's just kind of the way it is. Just nice doesn't sell. It's just the way it is. It sucks, but it's true.
Yeah,
that is so true. Nice does not sell, there's that. I think that's what makes reality TV kind of keep going, because people just, they crave drama. But in the middle of all of the drama that was going on with you guys, was there ever a time where something like something that came out on the show that you might have had to go and maybe have a little therapy about, or someone else, because it came out, but how do you deal with emotionally the things that are coming out on the show? How, what's the healing part of it?
I was actually in therapy on the show.
Good.
So it was weird.
I love that. It was
the truth, because that's what was going on at the time. So that's what they were filming. They would literally call us and say, what are you guys doing this week? And then we would each tell them what we had going on that week, and they would decide what to come and film, or who and what to film. But it was all our honest-to-God real lives. I mean, I was really drunk on the show and in the beginning, and so to see that back was pretty hard. But other than that, look, I'm not the first drunk person to be on TV, so I really don't care. It was more, you know what I mean? And nobody paid me to do that, because honestly, there's so many people out there that will do anything to be famous or be recognized, and it's kind of scary. Yes. Like, they'll do things that they'll do bad things just to get recognized, and it's kind of a trip. So, you know, I knew going, if you don't want it to be seen, then don't do it, or don't do a show. If you're gonna need therapy after doing that, you probably shouldn't be doing it. You know. I will let you in on one secret though, which was pretty funny. We took a trip to Vegas. I'm not going to tell you which one of us, but one of us was trying to buy the footage.
Because trying to what? Because what happened in Vegas didn't stay in Vegas.
Yeah, one of us was trying to buy the footage so it couldn't air. Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, well, they had cameras in our room, so. Vegas was Vegas, but after that it was kind of like, hey, you're not going to get it, so maybe you should think about what you're doing first.
Right.
Oh, by the way, because
it's easy to forget, believe it or not.
Really, with all the cameras around?
Oh yeah.
Really?
It's really easy to forget. Yeah, because you're already friends. It's not in a weird setting. You would be hanging out anyway.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
So after it was awkward at first, because you know when we hang out, there was no cameras there. But after the first season, it's real easy to forget that they're there. And sometimes like a couple times I caught myself. I'd say something and go, oh, my God, no, I didn't. Because you just forget. It's that easy.
Well, that shows you the quality of the production of the show, that you would actually forget. The best documentarians are the ones that – let you forget that the cameras are there.
And
how many cameras would they use?
It would depend. It would depend where and what we were doing. And you know, they're not up in your face. You're mic'd. You have a wireless pack on, so they're not sitting right in your face mic'ing you or anything like that. You're kind of on the loose.
Wow.
And so, it's not like what you would think. It's not like a television set at all.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it easy, too. They're there, obviously, and yes, you see them, but they're not, you know, a foot away from your face. You're just kind of, they're just there. They're like hovering.
Yeah.
All right. I just want to say two more things about that, and then I got something else I want to get on to before, while we still have time, is I do remember two things from the show. Is that one, when James was trying to talk you into moving back into the house after he finally signed divorce papers, and you sat down in a diner, and I just thought, you know, you were so straightforward and so honest. You know, like, you know, we tried this, this didn't work because of this and because of, but it wasn't big. I thought it wasn't big. I was always like, look, think about this. Think about this, James, you know. And that was impressive. And then the part about Sharice and the carp mouth, that was hilarious. Not the way she meant about going to her plastic surgeon, going, some people say I look like a carp with my tongue, with my mouth does this, make it not do that. And the plastic, that was funny. Well, maybe not to her. But,
yeah.
And before I get to this other point, I always say, come to Atlanta. Come to Atlanta with Femme Fatale.
We would love to. We would like to. Oh my God! I would play anywhere. I'm that guy. We have not done Europe. We've not done. Well, we did do Alberta, Canada, but we still haven't done like other parts of Canada. We haven't. You know, we do these cruises, but we haven't done an all-out tour. And I don't think we're going to. I don't know. Everybody, it's. You know, there's six of us, and
mm-hmm.
and we all have. A lot of things going on, and not everybody's in just Femme Fatale. They're in other bands too. So scheduling is a bit of an issue with
mm-hmm.
six busy people. So I don't know. I would
if
love
we can
to.
Get,
I would. If it were up to me,
if we can,
we,
but if we can get you in Atlanta,
that.
Okay, and Asheville, North Carolina. We can get you those two
I'm
cities.
In.
You gotta come. Everybody will treat you. Like the queen divas that you are. Now, I mean, we will. So also, let's talk about, while we still have time, your business.
Aphrodite?
Aphrodite.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you
Aphrodite
have lime candles?
Have what?
Lime candles.
Lime. No. No, I don't.
Okay.
No, Aphrodite is really dark.
Uh-huh.
I like to mix light with dark. Like everything has kind of a dark or musky undertone. And so I had started that a while back, and I was doing it all on my own. Basically mail order and like you know, little boutiques and stuff around LA, and then I had some friends helping me in Canada, sell candles there, but it was never really, it was more of a hobby. And then I met this girl, Paulina, and she wanted to partner up with me and just take it to another level, and that's what we're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
So they've changed the name to Athena Aromas, and now it's not just candles. It's like, you name it, bath bombs, essential oils at room. It's like next level. I'm not even allowed to really say everything that's there because it's not been announced yet. So I'm just really excited.
So,
I'm a candle kook.
So where
like
do we
a
find
candle
it?
Cop. Seriously. Huh?
Where do we find it? Like Kenya and I want to go shopping. Where do we find Athena Aromas products?
You can't get them yet. You can't get them out.
Not
yet. Until
Okay.
I'm thinking I know we're going to introduce a few products I believe in July, and then
mm-hmm.
but the actual the actual opening I believe will be in November when you can get everything.
Oh, fantastic.
At that point, I'll be posting like crazy at that point. You'll see. Cuz we're just right now in the stages of letting people even know it exists. So they know about it, and then that way once everything's out, it's like boom, now you can get them. But yeah, this is another level
fantastic.
For me. This is big time for me. So
this is big time. It really is.
Yeah. Who'd have thought?
I'm a
sure
big candle person, too.
Oh, yes. Yes, she is.
Oh,
we are,
it.
But she's even
I
more
get
than me. What we will do, Athena, if you just let us know, Kenya and I, and we, of course, we will share it because Kenya also has two podcasts, but one is for adult, one is for kids, families, but one is for, you know, adults. And we will,
okay.
We will share it on all of our social media to everybody.
Woo!
Yes,
all
yes.
Right. I'm telling you right now, they're pretty amazing. I'm really proud. I can't wait. But then again, I'm super impatient and I get excited, but I don't want to piss anybody off and like jump the gun. So I have to wait until until I'm told it's cool to say so, to you know what I mean.
Right. Mom's the word
I
for
know.
Now.
I've signed plenty of confidentiality things in business and publicity, public radio. I know the things I know about people that I
yeah.
can never tell. So yeah, I understand
yeah, right?
it completely. Well, and
yeah,
I am so glad that, you
please.
Met up with Paulina, met up with you, and making it big. Just so
I
excited.
Wait.
And
so
make sure
and
we
she's
know.
Based in Toronto, so we'll be doing some stuff in Toronto coming up, and then yeah, but feel free to share the page for it's you know, and whatever you want, the page and Instagram, because as soon as it comes out, that's the first place it's they're going to make announcements. So,
sister, we will. Kenya, tell her. Kenya, tell her what we'll do.
We will. I can't wait.
Awesome.
I love candles. I'm
yeah.
just curious.
So, yeah, so we'll have it going
set.
On for you. We'll be your new best friends, okay? We'll
awesome.
Be your southern best
we'll
friends.
We'll hook you guys up with some bath bombs and some candles. And
yummy. You
we'll
really
be the street
are my friend
team,
now.
But no. Now you've got some southern best friends that'll be your street team and tell everybody about it. We'll put it on. And we've got all, between Kenya and I, we've got just about every aspect of social media covered. So we'll share that with everybody.
Awesome.
And so, what's that?
Me? I said awesome.
Everybody, you have been so your time to come on Madam Perry Salon. I am so grateful to you, Athena, and we have enjoyed you so much. Best of everything, folks. You know, I'm putting links to everything. Femme Fatale, and then, of course, when the magic day comes, if I can tell you about Athena Roma's, after Athena can tell me and Kenya, you'll know about that. And everything that Athena gives me to share, we will share every link to everything on our social media, Kenya and I both. And we just think you're fabulous. Thank you. Would you please come back sometime? We just didn't have enough time. We
yeah.
went too fast.
Thank you, guys.
All
I'll
right.
come back anytime. Anytime.
All right. Oh, I forgot to get Maurice Sadloff, musician, sent in a message, says he loves you. You're the fabulous.
Up,
and we think you're great.